It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Speaking of politics, guess who's in the news this week? That's right, former President Donald Trump is in the news. Thank you for playing. Now he's on a tirade against Jewish people who vote for Democrats. Not a tirade against Jewish people, although many want to paint him that way. A tirade against Jewish people who vote for Democrats. He argues that they're hating their own religion, that they're hating Israel. Actually, most of the Jews in the United States and many of the Jews in Israel are liberal. Most Jews are atheists and agnostic. They are not religious. I say this as one who was born Jewish. I converted to Christianity in my second year of college, but I was born Jewish, and I can tell you that is a very interesting phenomenon of my own people. They get their guilt buttons pushed. They tend to think, oh, maybe if we appeased our enemies, they'd stop attacking us. Maybe if we gave more money to Hamas, they'd stop attacking us. They do that. I've talked about this before. I call it the battered wife syndrome. The wife says, well, my husband at least brings me flowers after he beats me. Maybe I got him upset. It happens. So when people think they're going to win an argument by saying, well, Israel must be wrong if even Jewish people are criticizing Israel. Many people who are American citizens accuse America of doing things too, erroneously, falsely. That doesn't really mean anything. And I think we should listen to what President Trump has to say. Because one of the Jewish people who used to be very pro-Israel is Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader. He made some hideous comments. I'll read them in a moment. But last week, President Trump made a guest appearance on the podcast America First with Sebastian Gorka. And he said this, they hate everything about Israel and they should be ashamed of themselves because Israel will be destroyed. He meant under Democratic leadership. And then, according to the way this was reported by the New York Post, he talked about Iran's ambition to create a nuclear weapon and the Biden administration's easing of sanctions against that U.S. adversary. The president particularly took issue with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and his call for Netanyahu to step down, for the Jewish state to hold a special election. These are the people that are always talking against election interference, and yet they're telling Israel what to do about their elections. And of course, this is the same party that's tried to get Trump removed from our ballots. This in the name of democracy. So Trump is criticizing Schumer, who's criticizing Netanyahu. And he's suggesting that Schumer, like Biden, is just kissing up to the leftists in his party, the squad, the anti-Israel, pro-Hamas demonstrators, because they want votes. And they're losing a lot of those votes. Remember, in Michigan, a lot of Democrats wouldn't vote for Biden. And I'd love to see Democrats turning on Biden, but the reason they wouldn't vote for him is because he was being protective of Israel. So now Biden's starting to make anti-Israel comments. Schumer's starting to make anti-Israel comments. Technically, they claim that they are still supporting Israel, but they're calling Israel to do a ceasefire, which means they're calling Israel to not go after the bloodthirsty murderers that attacked them on October 7th. So we have to at times say actions speak louder than words. Policies, what we're calling them to, speaks louder than obligatory rhetoric about Israel. And by the way, whenever Biden says something about Israel and how he supports Israel, he goes out of his way to talk about all the Islamophobia going on in our country, of which there's very, very little. But notice how he always has to say that in the same breath when he's talking about Israel. But back to what Trump was saying about Schumer. He says, guys like Schumer see that, and to him, it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel now. Well, of course, the Biden campaign pushed back, slammed Trump over these remarks. They said in a statement, "The only person who should be ashamed here is Donald Trump. Donald Trump openly demeans Jewish Americans and reportedly thinks Adolf Hitler did some good things." Okay, now that is an unverified statement. It comes from one of his cabinet members, John Kelly. Kelly, like so many of the people that Trump put on his team, worked against him. We know all kinds of things about the deep state and their lies against Donald Trump. So I'm not sure we should take that seriously. It has not been recorded in any speech. Even the Biden campaign went out of their way to say reportedly, because they don't know for a fact that he said that. Now look, let's be honest, Trump has a big mouth. He goes on and on. He rambles at the mouth. He talks without a filter. I could see somebody asking him about Hitler, and I could see him saying, "Well, as far as the economy goes, Hitler did do some good things, and he made the trains run on time." I'm not saying Trump said that. I could see him maybe saying something like that, just talking off the cuff. Doesn't mean he hates Jews. Trump's son-in-law is Jewish. Trump is the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. Ask the people living in Israel right now who they'd rather have as president of the United States. Ask the majority of them, because even some of the liberals and leftists in Israel are waking up after that horrific attack of October 7th. According to the New York Post, White House spokesperson Andrew Bates also rebuked Trump, casting his comments as vile and unhinged anti-Semitic rhetoric. So Trump calling Democrats to stop voting Democrat and be supportive of Israel, that's anti-Semitic rhetoric. Okay. And then he goes on, "As anti-Semitic crimes and acts of hate have increased across the world, among them the deadliest attack committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust." Well, thank you for at least admitting that, Andrew. Andrew continues, "Deadliest attack committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust. Leaders have an obligation to call hate what it is and bring Americans together against it. There is no justification for spreading toxic, false stereotypes that threaten fellow citizens." Well, that sounds great, Andrew. So why isn't your administration doing this? Schumer said making Israel a partisan issue only hurts Israel and hurts the U.S.-Israeli relationship. Well, that sounds great, Schumer. So why don't you stop making this a partisan issue? Why don't you stop making vile comments about Netanyahu just so you can get votes? How do you say this with a straight face? How do you sleep at nights? Let me read to you in more detail some of the things Schumer said. "If Netanyahu wants to remain in power after the war begins to wind down and continues to pursue dangerous and inflammatory policies that test existing U.S. standards for assistance, then the United States will have no choice but to play a more active role in shaping Israeli policy by using our leverage to change the present course." Oh, we're going to take an active role? We're going to shape Israeli policy? And we're going to do that if they don't vote Netanyahu out of office? We haven't had that much interference in Israel from a major superpower since the time of the Roman Empire. Why don't we just go over there and occupy them, Schumer? As a matter of fact, that sounds like it's more or less what he's calling for. Now, we do live in an age of moral equivalency. And in that vein, a lot of people are comparing Trump's remarks about how you're not really loving your own fellow people, your own fellow Jews, if you vote Democrat. They're comparing those remarks to a remark that Biden made when he was running for president in 2020. Remember, he was on the Breakfast Club, and he told the host, Charlemagne, "Anyone considering voting for President Trump ain't black." All right, well, let's compare these two statements. The short version is what Biden said was stupid. What Trump is saying is true for the most part. There's a little bit of nuance to add. What Biden said was stupid. There are many conservative blacks who are not Democrats. And to tell them that because of the color of their skin, they should be voting for Biden and they're not really black, they don't do that. This is like when they called out Candace Owens and Larry Elder, calling them white supremacists just because they happen to be conservative. But the point Biden was trying to make is that the Democratic Party does more for blacks, really. I just love hearing lectures against racism from the party of slavery, the party of segregation, the party of Jim Crow laws, and how have they been helping out black people in the present? African Americans make up a large majority of the poverty demographic. Many of them live in dangerous neighborhoods. Many of their children go to dangerous schools. So how has the Democratic Party been helping them exactly? With school choice and vouchers where they could go to better, safer private schools? By defunding the police? Is that how they're helping them? Now, as far as Trump saying anybody who votes Democrat hates Israel, hates Jews, I wouldn't say that. This is another example of Trump speaking in extreme terms. Yes, he does that. I would say that a lot of people today who vote Democrat are doing it out of habit, that haven't really taken the time to study, haven't really taken the time of research. Would I accuse every single person who votes Democrat of being an anti-Semite? No. I might call them ignorant. I might challenge them to do their homework a little better. But yes, Trump was exaggerating. But here's what's not an exaggeration. Here's what he was trying to say. People are calling Israel to stop the war, to have a ceasefire. And they're forgetting that on October 7th, children were murdered in front of their parents. Parents were murdered in front of their children. Women were raped, and the rape was put live over their Facebook pages. Babies were put in ovens. You want to talk about the Nazis? These are exactly the things the Nazis did at Auschwitz and other concentration camps. That's what Trump's talking about. And anybody who would call Israel to not go after these bloodthirsty murderers, knowing full well what was done to them, well, that does seem like a person that has Israel's self-destruction in mind. And many people are calling for the destruction of Israel, not the least of which is Hamas. Hamas wants to see Israel wiped off the face of the earth and to tell Israel that they need to make a deal with Hamas and the Palestinians who put them in the power and to have a two-state solution. Well, I was tempted to say it's insane, but I'll instead say it's pure evil. Again, I'll excuse those that are talking out of ignorance, but so many people today are not ignorant. They know what they're doing, and if they still vote into power those that want to call Israel to stop fighting and defending its own nation, then yeah, I would agree with Trump. They do hate Israel. So Trump said something accurate. Biden said something inaccurate. Let's not always morally equate statements like these. And so, my friends, to wrap this up, will the real racist please stand up? And I ask that question once again as a Jew converted to Christianity, but somebody of a Jewish past nevertheless. And I am saying as a Jew that I see no shred of anti-Semitism in Donald Trump. He has been the most pro-Israel president we've ever had. And I'm comparing him to those who are telling Israel to stop defending themselves, to have a ceasefire, to allow murderers to go free, rapists to go free. What Hamas did to Israel, that is a continuation of the real Nazis. That is the new Nazi party in Israel today. Think. Never mind what they say. Look at the actions. Look at the policies. That's what you have to do with politics. Think. This shouldn't be that hard. This isn't rocket science. As a matter of fact, it's making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
So, what exactly is a squatter? Well, some of you may think squats are an exercise you do. That's one definition. But I'm talking about a different squatter. This is a legal term. Either a tenant that won't leave, despite not paying rent, I should say. Or in the case of the news story we're about to discuss, people who simply moved into an empty house that was not their property claimed it as their own. Adele and Aloro, a 47-year-old woman, simply found people in her home, a home she was in the process of selling. I'm quoting her. "It's just crazy. We don't know how they got in, when they got in. We have no idea. How these people found out about the house being empty, I don't know." Well, no worries. There was an arrest. Adele Andaloro herself was arrested. Let me read some portions of this harrowing story from the New York Post. A New York City property owner recently ended up in handcuffs following a fiery standoff with alleged squatters who she had been trying to boot from her family's home, tense footage shows. Adele Andaloro, 47, was nabbed after changing the locks last month on the 1 million home in Flushing, Queens that she says she inherited from her parents when they died, ABC's Eyewitness News reported. "It's enraging," the homeowner said of the squatter saga. "It's not fair that I, as the homeowner, have to be going through this." Andaloro claims the ordeal erupted when she started the process of trying to sell the home last month, but realized squatters had moved in and brazenly replaced the entire front door and locks. She said she got fed up and went to her family's home on 160th Street with the local TV outlet in tow on February 29th and called a locksmith to change the locks for her. A heated on-camera spat with the people occupying the house quickly unfolded. The police were eventually called and escorted two people off the property. In New York City, a person can claim squatter's rights after just 30 days of living at a property. Under the law, it is illegal for the homeowner to change the locks, turn off the utilities, or remove the belongings of the tenants from the property. Now, also here in the New York Post, they have a little section that says what you need to know about squatters in New York. What are squatters' rights in New York? Squatters in New York State can claim a legal right to remain on a property without the owner's permission after 10 years of living there. However, in New York City, a person only needs to be on the property for 30 days to claim squatters' rights. Why is it so hard to get rid of a squatter? Yes, inquiring minds want to know. Squatters are allowed a wide range of rights once they have established legal occupancy, making it difficult to evict them. You see, today everybody has rights except for the people that are working, paying, actually owning something. They're the ones that don't have rights anymore. Anyway, I'll go on. How does someone become a squatter? Some of the scenarios in which a person becomes a squatter include a tenant refusing to pay rent. Gee, why should a tenant have to pay rent? A relative of a former owner refusing to leave the property, or even a stranger who entered the property and never left. According to Manhattan-based law firm Nadel and Cairo, squatters must have a reasonable basis for claiming the property belongs to them and must treat the house as if they were the owner, such as doing yard work or making repairs. Oh, I get it. If somebody goes on vacation, just go mow their lawn and move in, and hopefully they won't get back for 30 days. How can a property owner get rid of a squatter? Well, they can. That's the good news. The bad news is it's not that easy. Property owner must first send a 10-day eviction notice and then file a court complaint if the order is ignored. If approved by a judge, the owner can get a summons and have a sheriff evict the squatter. If approved by a judge. I won't comment on what a lot of judges are doing these days. Why does the law provide squatters with rights? The law was designed to help prevent long-term tenants from getting evicted. New York City's law was partially made in response to vacant and abandoned buildings that were becoming a blight on the city. Okay, now how can property owners protect themselves from squatters? Owners should avoid keeping any properties vacant for an extended period of time. All right, I've had enough of this. You ought to be able to do what you want with your own property. If you want to go on vacation for 3 months, you should be able to do that. Hopefully you have friends looking after the place for you, but you shouldn't have to be worrying about this. And if somebody does break in, you should be able to get rid of them, whether they were there for 30 days or not. I have a friend that I went to high school with. We got reacquainted after a class reunion a few years ago. He owned his own home and took pity on a friend of his who needed a place to stay. He allowed her to move in temporarily, but he had some rules, and she had some drug addiction problems. He said no drugs. She started doing drugs anyway, so he evicted her from the house. She refused to leave. He changed the locks. She called the police. The police showed up and demanded that he change the locks in such a way that she could get in again. Now, for years, I've been saying, you just watch. The day will come when it'll be a little more formalized, a little more canonized. They'll simply demand that you leave your house so that illegal immigrants can move in. And people were calling me crazy, but then that happened to a woman in Europe. There were Muslim immigrants, and they told her to vacate her apartment. In her case, she was a renter, but she was paying her rent. They still told her to move out. During COVID, hotels were demanded to empty their places out so that patients could move in. In some states now, illegal immigrants are being moved into rec centers, and the rec centers have no say in the matter. You just watch. We have pandering politicians saying illegal immigrants should be given free health care, free college education. Why not a free home? I've even heard politicians say the right to have a home should be as free as the right to have health care. But perhaps this will convince you. There's a migrant on TikTok with a 500,000-strong online following, and he is giving tips to his audience on how to, quote-unquote, invade unoccupied homes and invoke squatters' rights in the United States. He's a Venezuelan national. He lives in Columbus, Ohio. And he said in a recent interview, if a house is not inhabited, we can seize it. My friends, when will enough be enough? When will we return to being a nation of law? This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. I houses burned down.
You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric. License number 480539. WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Hey, you know what I like? There is nothing I like. In fact, there's nothing I love more than an ad for Adblock, which pops up on my screen to tell me how I can prevent pop-up on my computer. Say hello again to our producer, Brendan Thomas.
In the words of Alanis Morissette, it's like rain on your wedding day. It's a free ride, but you already paid. It's ironic. Yes, it is. Well, I wanted to actually make a comment on your last thing about the squatter situation. I've been hearing about this for years. Like, I know I was probably too young to be watching this show, but I used to watch Judge Judy as a kid. And man, the amount of squatter cases that came about. But what's worse about this whole situation is when you have to deal with the sheriff situation, they have to have a warrant to even come in and do all that
stuff. Yeah,
which
means you have to go through some judge.
Exactly.
And what if it's a liberal? And see, I think to the degree that they're illegal squatters, they're going to start getting more protection, at least under this administration.
Possibly. But I was also going to point out, again, we've talked about this plenty of times, how slow is our legal system to even deal with these cases? So the amount
thing
of time-
is, we already have laws that say your property is your property. Trespassing is trespassing. We already have such laws.
Exactly. So this whole squatter situation and giving these people the chance to live there, it's so malarkey and so out of context.
It's insane.
Yeah. So tonight I wanted to talk about a few different things. Number one, I'll quickly go through this, and then I want to actually bring up one more topic that we just talked about in the last show.
Sure.
Here, your side. So celebrity death stuff happened. Do you know the band The Blackbirds by any chance? They were an R&B group.
No, I don't. Yeah. I'm not up on. I'm no Jim Barrier when it comes to all the bands.
Okay. They had two hit songs in '75 and '76. It was Walking in Rhythm and Happy Music. The pianist Kevin Tony passed away from cancer at the age of 70. Are you familiar with M. Emmett Walsh or Michael Emmett Walsh by any chance?
That name sounds a little more familiar, but still not much.
I'll read you some of the movies, but you'll definitely know the last one. The Jerk, Blade Runner, and Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, well, I know those movies. Absolutely. Yeah.
So Christmas with the Cranks, he was Tim Allen's Across the Street
neighbor. Oh, yes, yes, yes. You know, I remember another part. He played the coach in a movie called Ordinary People. I don't know if you ever saw that. It was a wonderful.
No.
First movie Robert Redford ever directed, starred Mary Tyler Moore. Timothy Hutton won Best Actor. Judd Hirsch. Donaldson. Anyway,
but was he a big part in it?
It was not a big part, but he played the swim coach, and he sounded like every coach I've ever known. He was really good.
Good. Well, unfortunately, he did pass away at the age of 88. So all of our hearts and prayers go out to
very good actor.
People. Yes, yeah. Very good. Last show we were just talking about on the gun owners show that we have before.
Yeah.
You. We were talking about if it's okay for illegals to have firearms. Now the premise specifically is, let's say there's this person who crossed over the border, and he's not supposed to cross over the border at all, but that's the only crime he's broken. He's working, he's trying to work hard for his family and everything, and he wants to own a firearm to protect his family, because, you know, there's these illegals are coming in specifically for multiple reasons, and one of those reasons could be the cartels coming after them, and the only way they could figure out a way to get safety is coming onto the American side. So is it okay for an illegal to have a firearm? What is your opinion on that personally?
Well, our Constitution that guarantees the Second Amendment is guaranteeing it for citizens. And if they want to live here and be an American citizen and apply for a firearm, I think they need to come clean and apply for citizenship along with it.
I agree.
Now, hopefully that'll be a fast process.
Well, according
to... certainly somebody coming here to escape the cartel, I hope we do make them a citizen. But the problem is there are people coming across our border for other reasons, too.
Uh-huh.
And if they can get firearms, the FBI has just mentioned literal terrorists that are coming across our border
right
now. And they're going to be allowed to go and get guns. It's insane.
And then on top of that, you know, if we look at what's the crime process of these illegals, they're actually causing the most crime out of everybody else in the country too.
Yeah.
So
what was their position on the gun show? Where were they coming?
They down? Actually, well, I know a couple of them were very mixed on it, but they said that they're trying to protect their family. And if they're big advocates for Second Amendment rights for people in America, then they're for it. They're was one other host who said strictly, listen, they're here illegally for a reason, if that's the case.
But see, the minute you say Second Amendment, that means somebody living under the laws of our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where there's a tension there.
Exactly. I just thought it was a very interesting point of view on that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So into our first topic tonight, the Los Angeles Unified School District has decided to put in a new AI app. I have this whole story here. I want to hear your opinion about it. So let's take a listen to this news story.
The 540,000 students across LAUSD will now have access to ED. At a press conference Wednesday morning, Superintendent Alberto Carvalho unveiled ED, a new district-developed artificial intelligence app aimed to boost students' academic success.
You know, we have remarkably brilliant, committed teachers, support staff, counselors. This will never be a replacement for that talent. But this is a technology that becomes a personal assistant to students.
ED can wake students up when it's time for school and let them know when the school bus will arrive. It can remind students of their class assignments, suggest reading materials for specific projects, and even say what's on the lunch menu for the day.
If students want to take SAT prep or AP like prep, they have that program in there and you're able to have a session with the tutor to help you with your AP or SAT, ACT, whatever class or test that you want to pass.
ED is also able to speak 100 different languages depending on the student's preference. Carvalho also addressed security concerns and the overall fear of AI technology. He says they've partnered with federal security companies and included filters in the programming to screen for any type of threatening language.
There is no way that a student right now can go outside of LAUSD to look up information through ED. So the level of protection is absolutely guaranteed.
Another feature students and parents were saying they really liked was the talkback feature. So students, parents, and guardians can chat with ED and get almost instant responses in their preferred language, available to them 24/7.
So, with all that in mind, what did you think of that whole situation? Because I have to say, it's a lot of skepticism on my end here.
There is nothing I like about artificial intelligence. And let me be more clear.
Yes.
There is nothing I like about artificial intelligence. It's not going to put people out of work. Famous last words.
Right. We've discussed this with voice actors, for example. They're losing jobs because people are able to transition their voices into other characters all of a sudden.
AI can now paint pictures, write stories. They'll put writers out of work. They'll put actors out of work. They're already talking about using CGI if they want to create a new John Wayne movie,
yep.
Even though John Wayne's been dead for, what has it been, like 30 years now?
Mm-hmm. And how many times have we heard AI technology use Trump's voice to say something very derogatory or mean, and yet the mainstream media says, oh, that's what he said.
And that's the other thing. AI has this reputation of being objective, but you heard about the AI on Google where they were asking for pictures from history and they were showing Native American women who were Roman soldiers and in the name of trying to be woke they had Nazis that were black. I mean they ended up doing exactly the opposite of what they were trying to accomplish.
Right.
And if any of you don't believe me, just go and watch the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Yes.
Stanley Kubrick tried to warn us all the way back in the year 1968 with HAL the Computer. It's an excellent movie, had a lot to say. Everybody should watch that movie.
It's an excellent movie. And HAL's
it's on my top 10 list of one of the top 10 movies of all time.
And you know what? HAL is not like some monster or anything, but he's so scary because it's something that that could happen in reality in our future if we program them enough to be actually human interactive like that.
And this does spiral into another interesting discussion that I've had before, and that is, as human beings, we're made in the image of God, and we still don't completely understand what creates sentience. Mm-hmm. But if we're made in God's image, we might be able to somehow transfer sentience to these computer programs and robots. And if we're made in God's image, it's not impossible that we could make something in our image, which means it would be in God's image too. And then would these artificial beings have rights?
Right.
And if we tried to claim that they didn't have rights and they were invented to be our servants, would it be a new form of slavery? We are creating so many problems with this. I'm going to echo Michael Crichton. Now, he was saying this about cloning dinosaurs, but the principle applies. In science, we shouldn't just be asking ourselves what we're capable of doing. We should be asking if it's something we should be doing.
I agree. I remember there was this cartoon show called C-Lab 2021, and there was a very funny skit where they said a man was about to die, but then they transferred his brain into a robot monkey body. And they're like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Well, can I transfer my brain into a robot? And then they're like, okay, but we're going to have to put you on the robot reservations, and you're going to have to follow our human laws over your robot laws there. And I really, really enjoyed that whole conversation. If I could find that clip for you off the air, I'll find it later. Okay. It's really good.
All right.
My issues with it. Let's start off with the superintendent. He's brand new. He got elected during the COVID season. What do you mean this is not going to replace the teachers and the tutors?
He was probably told to say that. They said, if you don't say it, we will replace you by the computer.
That's exact. I think so. Because honestly, the teachers there in the classroom are like, okay, everyone go to your ed. I'm just going to go on my phone and just jibber jabber on my phone and go through social media, obviously. So you're taking away all the concept and the actual things that have to do with that human interaction. I mean, how many scientific studies do we need to show where screen time for kids causes more ADHD issues and they don't have any social interactions with people in real life? We need that social interaction. We need that face-to-face.
Well,
with
also
and
just
teachers.
Human nature. Whenever I hear, don't worry about the slippery slope, this can never happen, it always happens because it's never enough with human nature. Quite a few years ago here in San Diego, I went to a school board meeting and they wanted to have this new rule against bullying gay people. Mm-hmm. And I was one of the ones who stood up and said, you already have rules that nobody should be bullying anybody. Why are we opening up this Pandora's box? And one of the principals got up and said, look, would it make y'all feel better if I said this LGBTQ, it's never going to get into the curriculum? And I stood up. I said, of course it's going to get into the curriculum. You know it. I know it. Everybody in this room knows it. You won't be here anymore when it happens. And you won't have to answer for that remark. And of course, well, you've seen what's happened since then.
Right. And on top of that, by saying, hey, don't make fun of LGBTQ. It's basically saying, don't make fun of this guy. And that gives him all the attention on this person.
But it's always sudden, open season on Christians.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jewish people today. Yeah.
So, but you're just pointing the attention and pointing them out even more so, which is not what you're supposed to do. Just add that whole general rule of let's just not bully.
Yeah, my
school.
Problem with hate crime laws is it leads to hate speech laws. Mm-hmm. If it's already wrong to commit crimes and violence, that should be enough. We shouldn't be getting into the motives, because once we get into the motives, we're getting into freedom of speech and freedom of beliefs.
Yeah. One last thing I wanted to complain about the superintendent's comment was he said there's absolutely no way anyone's going to hack into the system. And
is he a computer expert? I'd like to see his degree.
Exactly.
In artificial. I'll bet you he doesn't have one.
No. And again, like you said, I bet someone behind tech is like, well, you better say this, okay?
Then. These were talking points written for him. It was probably written for him by the computer.
Yeah, off of ChatGPT almost.
Because this is what you're going to say, Dave.
Like not even 2 weeks ago in Beverly Hills School District, there were students, they were able to hack into their own AI technology teaching system in order to bring up sexually explicit photos of their teachers. That's disgusting. That's horrible. You're putting this out to the kids and saying, hey, you try hacking into... No, you don't say that. If you're going to promote this system, promote only the positive aspects. The safety aspects, I completely understand. But go out and say, yeah, go ahead, try to hack into this system. You're offering open season on that portion of the whole technology. So in my opinion, this is a horrible, horrible thing. And I hope that the district opens their eyes and says, you know what? Maybe we should. Well, technically, I'm talking about the Los Angeles school district, the public school system. I'm probably.
Well, life's pretty simple, Brendan. Here are the simple rules, folks. Anytime somebody tells you that something can never be done, it can be done. And a public school system will never open its eyes. Those are the two simple truths.
Yeah, that's true. Well, coming up, I do have another sad story with another public school system. And then I also have a review of a TV show that has come on last week. And I wanted to talk about it with people. So we'll be right back after this break.
This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
So, some really sad stories coming up ahead here. So, out in Chicago in the suburbs, there's an area called Fenton, and at their high school, Fenton High School, a teacher has now officially been fired 5 days ago, as soon as the police investigation began. Not when these allegations came about, but as soon as the police announced publicly, we're putting an investigation behind this person. That's when the school district decided to fire this person. Apparently, he was sexually abusing over 20 students ever since 2011, this teacher. And all of this information and evidence got leaked online, and now parents of those students are very, very upset with the school board. They want answers, and they want to know why this guy wasn't fired after the first offense.
So they have established that the school board knew about this long before the police were brought in?
Correct, yes.
Okay, well, if that's true, everyone on the school board should be fired. If the school board didn't know about it, that's another story.
No, but they was reported that the school board did know about this, and over, it was just written disciplinary notices to the teacher. That was it.
Wow, with something like child abuse and all they get is a written disciplinary
note. That's it. And that's in the public school system of Chicago. It's sad.
It's pure evil.
Yes. So over the past week, the parents have been showing up to the board meetings of these school district heads, asking them to resign. But they have completely refused. And they said no, because we're still under an investigation for his actions ever since 2011.
Oh, so the school board's defending themselves by saying we're not absolutely sure this guy is guilty yet?
Correct, but the police have said that he's guilty, and they're having evidence around it.
Technically, you have to be charged, and a jury has to find you guilty. The police can't just say you're guilty.
Exactly.
So they're probably using that loophole, but still.
And you know what? Those 20 students that were actually being sexually abused actually came to those meetings publicly. They were showing their faces, and they were actually saying, "You guys really hurt us. We can't trust the school board anymore for our own safety." And so the community.
I know there's a tendency to shove those kinds of things under the rug.
Yes, but I'm personally for the fact that these people should resign. Honestly, I think they're only not resigning for one specific reason. The paycheck's really good, possibly, I guess. That's the only reason.
Well, I don't think you get paid for being on the board, but if they have other, if these are people that are also teachers and superintendents and they're being paid for those jobs, they should be fired from those jobs,
too. They should be, and I don't know who else it could be. They're asking the superintendent and the other head school board members to resign, but they're refusing to do so. Again, their excuse is we're still under investigation when the police have already done the investigating, and again, that information's been leaked. At this point, you're not helping yourselves, not even in a public forum now. So I say just at this point, just publicly say, no, we're done. We have to resign at this point.
Yeah, I understand that somebody's innocent until proven guilty and we've got to be careful. But I also think with something like sexual abuse, you at least remove the person from his role in the school while it's under investigation. And what you're saying is they didn't do that.
No, they
did not. Until the police came in.
Exactly. And this is 13 years, 20 students. It's uncalled.
Yeah, you got to say, okay, we're going to investigate, but while we're investigating, we're going to make sure nobody else is put in harm's way.
And they had said nothing like that. Nada. They're silent behind it. So it's very, very disappointing. Moving on, I was watching Investigative Discovery because there was a huge, huge debut of a new show that was coming out, and everyone online was talking about it. It is called Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. Now, growing up, I used to watch...
It's just like a documentary show? Is that
what it is? Yeah, it's like a crime investigation show, like most investigative discovery shows on there. I love these kind of like crime drama situation things, because I always, whenever I'm watching the show and they go to a commercial, I'm like, okay, so all that information came to me. What would I have done in that situation? Obviously, I would have ran away or done something else in that situation, not what the person would have done in that scenario. But anyways, going on to this, growing up, I used to watch Nickelodeon all the time as a kid. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a channel that was made for kids at that time. If you were my age, you would have loved it for sure.
Well, my kids watched it.
Oh, your kids watched it. There you go. So Dan Schneider has created multiple shows through Nickelodeon, which includes All That, Zoe 101, Drake and Josh, and these are just like some of them. So the show looks back on all the child actors that he used to work with from the early 90s all the way through the early 2010s. And that's when Nickelodeon kicked him out after the allegations were coming out about him mistreating employees and also abusing the kid actors as well. So the show basically takes a look at all Dan Schneider, but they do it in a different way of doing this way, because there's only four episodes and each episode deals with specific things of Dan Schneider's perspective. So the first episode deals with all of his skits. Now, this is where I was kind of iffy on the show, because I'm like, personally for me, man, you are stretching for some of these things. Like, for example, there's a guy who says, I'm Nose Boy, and he has a more giant nose than usual. That's the whole joke and the premise of the whole skit. And everyone says the nose looked very phallical, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about with that situation. And then the person sneezes on the person, and they said, that's a sexual thing that they're sneezing on them. I didn't get that joke as a kid at all. I think it was just a gross humor, because the 90s were all about gross humor.
So they're
humor.
Just taking a joke about a nose, and they're trying to retrospectively look back and call it some kind of child
exactly.
abuse on the set?
Yeah, and I'm like, no, I don't think so. There's another one that has to deal with this girl who's a number one fan of another child actress, and they said, that's just promoting stalker issues. And I said, no, because they're promoting the fact that this kind of behavior is a terrible thing to have, and you shouldn't be having that. It's a negative aspect. And as a kid, I knew, I don't want to be like that person. I don't get the joke in that, if you're kind of explaining it in that sense. So that first episode was very weak, but then the second episode starts to actually get into more of what I was expecting specifically. The second episode had to deal with the behind the scenes issues. So for example, there was two women writers that got hired onto the show. However, he only had one spot for the writers. He hired all of his male writers, and then the females had to share a salary, which according to the union is illegal, apparently.
Yeah, that kind of thing's been illegal for years.
Yeah, but he said it was completely fine because there were rookies. They've only been writing.
Well, if he put it into their contract and they agreed to that, then they agreed to
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So it depends it's on what the contract said.
The contract specifically said that. Now, according
well,
to
they
Dan,
thought it was a bad contract, they didn't have to sign it.
Exactly. But they said they were starving for anything to get work
well,
done in front of them.
That may be, but we've got to have some law.
I agree.
If they signed a contract, if you don't want to sign a bad contract, don't sign it.
Yes. Oh, I almost forgot to mention, in the first episode, they did mention how the kid actors were very uncomfortable with a lot of the skits. Like, for example, they had a segment in the show called Double Dare, where they had to do some fear factor stunts. Like, one of the kids had to get licked by a bunch of dogs with Ew. Peanut butter all over themselves.
I wouldn't want to do that as an adult.
No.
I'm doing it as a kid.
Yeah, and he's literally saying in the clip, oh, I don't like this. This is so gross. And I'm like, wow, now I can see why that was not funny now all of a sudden.
That
so.
Might be a little different, because a kid might sign a contract but not have any idea the kinds of things they're going to make him
right.
do. And so
Dan Schneider,
they may have a case there.
Dan Schneider did defend this by saying he asked the parents, and the parents were on set to watch their kids get through those activities. But I still have to say that's still not okay. And even then,
that just makes a case for the parents being stupid.
Exactly. Yeah. So I highly, highly doubt the parents would be that stupid. But apparently the parents said, we said yes only because we were scared that Dan Schneider would kick our kids off, and thus we don't have any money coming to our family
anymore.
Yeah.
See, I think there are some parents that would do that for the money
and
put that above their kids' feelings. They would claim they weren't doing that, but it happens.
So over and over throughout the whole series, they talk about some inappropriate behaviors that Dan Schneider also did with the writers specifically, especially the women ones, by asking them, hey, didn't you prostitute back in the day? And she said, no. He goes, why don't you go ahead and act like that in the room? And it's so disgusting. And apparently Dan Schneider later on said, yes, I did say that, and I apologize to them immensely. That was not a very good thing for me to do. And it very felt genuine, that apology, unlike Kanye West's apology that I talked about weeks ago. That one didn't feel as lit. And then the more shocking one was, there was a whole episode near the end of the series that talked about a specific actor and one of Dan Schneider's assistants being the one who sexually abused him throughout as a kid. And he just came out publicly about this information. His name was Drake Bell. And in the court case papers, they said it's an unnamed child actor that was in the show. show that was being sexually abused. Him and another assistant of Dan Schneider both had 11 years in prison due to this action. And Dan Schneider has publicly stated, I was not the one who hired them. That was Nickelodeon. Now, they were my assistants for the show, but that doesn't mean I have to keep an eye on them all the time. They're not my children. But in a professional sense, this happened on professional ground in the studios. You do have to keep an eye
on
your kid actors.
Some kind of provision needed to be made.
Exactly. So I do
blame
Dan.
Or you hire somebody to keep an eye on them.
Thank you. Thank you. And Dan Schneider kept complaining over and over, oh, we don't have a budget to have people watch them. No, you absolutely do.
You don't have a budget to have people watch them, then don't have kids on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. Exactly. So it's on Max if you guys do want to watch it. I think it's very, very interesting. It's a very, very sad, sad show. And Nickelodeon tried to write a public statement, which is kind of wishy-washy, but most studios' public statements are wishy-washy on these situations when they occur. So
we categorically show our solidarity with the concern parents.
That's right. They might have typed it in ChatGPT as well, that apology letter to all those kids. Oh, well. Well, anyways, Bob, thank you so much for this wonderful time.
As always, you bring up very interesting subjects.
Thank you very much. And everyone, have a happy Easter, because we will have a rerun next week.
We will have one of our annual Easter broadcasts next week.
One last thing, happy Palm Sunday to all the Christians.
Yes, very much. Yes. Very much. We'll see you next time.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.